Good morning, Parshas B'Shalach. We're going to discuss Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, something perhaps a little bit different, a topic which has become very famous, very popular, very widespread in recent times, and that is the inyan of Sgulos. Because if we're being honest, I think we all like a good Sgula, a Sgula for Shalom Bayis, Sgula to have good children, Sgula to be zeicher to a good chosim. I'll tell you a little secret, but my wife is not listening to the recording, but we have somewhere at home an album which my wife showed me when we got married, and in that album there's a whole bunch of broken pieces of plate that she got from Chosn Kali. You've heard of this Sgula? They don't do it in America? Okay, so apparently in England it's a famous Sgula. My wife told me as a Sam girl, and she used to go to an Erisin, a vault, so they break the plate to hundreds of pieces, and if you manage to grab one of the pieces and you ask the color to write on it and inscribe it and give you a brocha, then you collect as many of those as you can, then you'll be zeicher to a wonderful chosn. So maybe she was right. But either way, so we have this album at home, so it's a good Sgula. It's a good Sgula. Easy way to be guaranteed, apparently, a good chosn. All you have to do is collect broken pieces of plate. That's all you need to do. Have any of you heard of Super Tuesday? Someone said Parshas Hamon? Okay, so somebody once called me up, an American, a few years ago, and it was Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach, and he said to me, "No, are you all ready? Are you all ready?" He says to me, "For Super Tuesday." I said, "Super Tuesday? What was that, a sports match or something?" He says, "You don't know the Sgula? Everybody knows the Sgula. All you have to do is read the parasha of the Mon on Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, and then guaranteed Parnassah." How long does it take to say the Parshas Hamon? How long does it take to say the Parshas Hamon on Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach? So this is what he tells me. All you have to do, it takes a few seconds, you read the Parshas Hamon on Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, Super Tuesday, and you're guaranteed Parnassah. You're guaranteed Parnassah. We're going to mention a number of these Sgulos, but I'll tell you a little secret. Growing up, I never heard of this Sgula. Seems to be that everybody here knows about it, but I never heard of this Sgula. It does turn out there was a Chassidish Rebbe, who I'm sure was a very great tzaddik. He publicized this Sgula, and recently it's indeed become very widespread. So we all like a good Sgula. We all like a good Sgula for Shalom Bayis, for children, for health, for wealth, for all wonderful things. So we're going to discuss the inyan of Sgulos for a few moments today, and you'll soon see why indeed it's so important to talk about Sgulos. Because in this week's parasha, besides for being the parasha of the Mon, at the end of the parasha, we read about Klal Yisrael's battle with Amalek. And we have the famous pasuk with the famous Mishnah. The pasuk says, "V'hoyo kasher yorim Moshe yodoy." When Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, "V'govar Yisrael," Klal Yisrael were victorious. "V'kasher yaniach yodoy." When Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down, then the opposite happened. V'govar Amalek. So we all know the Mishnah. It's become a famous song. V'chiyodov shel Moshe oisais milchama oishoivreis milchama, asks the Tana in the Mishnah. Can it be that the hands of Moshe, that's what dictates the whole course of war? Victory for Klal Yisrael, victory for Amalek, it's all dependent on whether Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands or put down his hands. Can that be? What does the Mishnah answer? No. Rather, when he lifted up his hands, Klal Yisrael in turn were mistaklim klapper malon. They looked heavenwards. umashabdim livam, and they were subjugating their hearts la'aviyem shebashomayim, and then indeed they were victorious. So no, it was not Moshe Rabbeinu's hands that brought them victory. When Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands towards the Shomayim, so too Klal Yisrael looked up to the Shomayim. And when they looked up to the Shomayim and they were meshabed their lev, they subjugated their hearts to Avinu Shebashomayim, that is what brought them victory. Does anybody know? How does the Mishnah continue? The same question, the same answer with regard to a different story in the Torah. Which story? With a Nochash. Because in Parashas Chukas it says, Klal Yisrael complain, they get an oynash. What is the oynash? The Nechashim came to bite them, there was a pikuach nefesh situation, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, make a copper snake, put the snake on top of a stick, whoever looks up, Vochai will live. That's what it says in the Pasuk. And once again, the Mishnah asks the question, V'chi Nochash Memis? Oynochosh mechaya? Does it really make sense to say that the refuah shalema or otherwise will be dependent on looking at an image of a copper snake? And what does the Mishnah answer? Same answer. But no, it's nothing to do with the snake. When they looked up towards the snake, then they looked up klapamalo. They looked up at Avinu Shebashomayim and they were meshabed their lev, their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what brought about the refuah shalema. So the Mishnah has asked the same question twice, given the same answer twice. Can it be that Klal Yisrael's Yeshua in war, or Klal Yisrael's Yeshua in refuah shalema, come about in some miraculous fashion through Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, or a copper snake? The answer is no and no. Rather, when they looked up at Moshe Rabbeinu, they looked up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they looked up at a snake, they looked up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'd like to ask is the following question. What exactly was bothering the Mishnah? What's the kasha? The Tana of the Mishnah is posing a question. The Chi Yodov Shel Moshe, can that possibly be that the whole nitzachon, the victory of war, comes about through Moshe Rabbeinu's hands? That's the kasha. Why not? Why can't that be? What's so troublesome if the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands and they won in war, so then they won in war through Moshe Rabbeinu's hands? What's troubling the Mishnah? The Chi Yodov! Exclamation mark, question mark, can that possibly be? Why can't that be? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu has miracle hands. Maybe the Nochash is a miracle Nochash. And when you look at the Nochash, Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands, then that brings the Yeshua. Well, why can't that be? What's bothering the Mishnah? Why is the Mishnah so troubled by the simple reading of the Psukim? So this, Be'ezus Hashem, is going to be our topic for this morning. As mentioned, sgulois have become very popular. And I'll tell you a secret. I'm not that old. I don't know, maybe you look at me as an old age pensioner. I'm not so old. But when I was growing up, sgulois were less famous, were less well known as they are now. I once asked my father, Sheyarech Yomim Vishonim, did you ever hear of the sgula? When you got married, I asked him that, when the husband of the wife who's in the ninth month, what should he do? What's the famous skula for an easy birth? Psichav Aron HaKodesh. When I got married, they all told me that. My father said, never heard of it. Never heard of it. A lot of skulas, Super Tuesday, Parshas Hamon on a Tuesday, or Parshas B'Shalach, I never heard of it until I got this phone call about Super Tuesday. Never heard of it. They've become very, very popular nowadays. Lots of skulos. Now we're going to see, chas v'sholem, not to be mezalzel in skulos. Many of them, almost all of them, have makoyros in Chazal HaKadoshim. But what we're going to do today, Be'ezus Hashem, is see together what the makoyros really say and how these skulos work. Because, for example, We live in an age, as mentioned, where skulos are indeed very popular. But do you know why they're popular? Why do people like a good skula? And the answer is, in one word, because it's easy. It's easy. That's what you have to do to get parnasa. You just have to say Parshas Hamon on Tuesday, Parshas Beshalach. Quick and easy. We all like quick and easy things. Do you know, I heard recently that they're trying to grow oranges in this country without a peel. Because it takes ages to peel an orange, at least 3 seconds. So if we can eat an orange and save ourselves 3 seconds, what a wonderful life it will be. What will we be doing during those 3 seconds? Obviously, checking our emails. We've never been so busy, than now with all of our time-saving devices. You know, when I grew up as a young boy, we didn't have a microwave. Simple reason, didn't exist. You're going to think I'm absolutely ancient if I tell you that nobody had a cell phone. Why? Didn't exist. The phone that we had at home, you're going to think I'm now from the 16th century, was a phone with a wire. Remember that thing? A wire plugged into the wall. When you wanted to dial, you had to dial with your finger the 7 or 8 numbers. I remember when my father got his first cell phone, it was about triple the size of this, and when it rang, first of all, the whole house shook when it rang, and then you had to pull out the antenna, and then somehow you were able to hear a few words here and there. That was the first cell phone. Nobody had, when I was growing up, a small MP3 player. Simple, because it didn't exist. When I was in Gates of Yeshiva, 30 years ago, so we used to record the Shir of the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ron Gurevich, Yarech Yom Vishonim. How did we record it? Tape recorder. You know what a tape is? A cassette? Have you ever seen one of those? We're like in museums. So what did we do? There was a table about this size, where all the Bochim, there are 300 Bochim in the Shir, so many, many, many Bochim wanted to record the Shir. So you came with your big tape recorder and you put it on the desk. Now there was always a big problem, because the tapes, how long is each side of the tape? 45 minutes, but the Shir was for an hour. So after 45 minutes, all the tape recorder, suddenly the button started popping up. So there was a bocha in the shir, and that was his job. After 45 minutes, he had to quickly take the tape out, flip it around, and press record again. That sounds like something happened in Mitzrayim or something. It wasn't so long ago, but now everything has to be quick, compact, microwavable. Everything has to be quick and easy. Orange without peels. It used to be that actually people gave money to tzedakah because it was a mitzvah. Can you believe it? Now, every Beis HaMedrash you go into, you'll see a flyer. If you only give 180 shekels to this organization, then this gadol will daven at this kever, and you'll be zoicha to have a knife or some oil or a mezuzah that's been blessed and kissed and wished, and it's all quick and easy. So now why do we give tzedakah? It's a good business deal, quick and easy. Orange without peels. And the problem is, Yiddishkeit is not microwavable. There are no shortcuts in Avodas Hashem. You can microwave your food, and can you record at the press of a button? And that may be a very, very useful thing. I remember growing up, my parents once went away. So I stayed in the house of a friend of mine. His father was a big computer expert, and in the room, the guest room that I was sleeping in, there was a big computer. So my friend says to me, my father has asked, would you very much mind if the computer is left on overnight, up and running, and he doesn't switch it off? No, I don't mind. Perfectly a bit noisy. No, it's fine. He says, I'll explain to you why. My father, as you know, is very busy, very big into computers. And he's told me there's a new invention. It's a brand new concept. It's groundbreaking in the world of technology. And it's something called an email. What happens is, he's got a friend somewhere else who's typing on his laptop or his computer. And if you wait 8 or 9 or 10 hours, then eventually on my father's screen this message will come through. But it's only if you leave the computer on. So he has to leave the computer on overnight so that in the morning he can excitedly switch on and see, did his friend send an email? It takes about 10 hours to arrive. And now, if you send an email, it takes 10 seconds to arrive. What's going on? I have to call the computer technician. Everything has to be quick, easy, microwavable, which may have mileage, but not chas v'shalom if it interferes with our avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is not quick and easy. There's no quick fix it. There's no avodas Hashem without appeal. There is no microwavable avodas Hashem. But that's what we're looking for, and that is the attraction of skulis. A skula is putting the Torah, putting avodas Hashem in a microwave. Do you know, I teach in another seminary, not as good as Ni'imas, obviously, but it's in Bet Shemesh. So I came in yesterday to the seminary, and as I walk in, the menahelet of the seminary says to me, the girls have asked, could you possibly give just a one-off shiur, okay, which subject, how can they become Balei Bitochen and know when to do Hishtadlus? One-off shiur. I said, I can do it in about 100 years, but not a one-off shiur. But that's what we're all looking to do. So Bitochen goes in the microwave, Hishtadlus goes in the microwave, our tefillahs go in the microwave, everything, click of a button, a quick email. Everything has to be quick and easy. But that's not the way Avodas Hashem works. But that's why it's popular. So we all know the skulos, Parshas Hamon, as mentioned, Super Tuesday. If anybody wants to have Bonim Talmidei Chachomim, famous skula, what is the skula? What do you have to do on Friday night? Arogil B'nei, you light candles. Mitzvah Hashem, you should all be mothers of children. I have to give the Baruch Hashem. I always thought you have to put in a lot of effort for years and years. Apparently you just have to light a candle, that's it. Put the children in the microwave as well now. Quick and easy, click of a button. There's a skula that we all do. Every single home in Klal Yisrael, we begin the year with this skula. First night of the year, we're all involved in this skula. What do? The simonim. Don't we do this skula? Dip an apple in the honey, have a sweet new year. Skula. Somebody told me he was a hard-working individual. Things were not going so well for him. So on Rosh Hashanah night, he ate raisins and celery. Yirotzei Makadosh Baruch Hu should send me a rise in my salary. Good skula. But we all do the same. So we have a piece of carrot. Carrot in Lashon HaKodesh is gezer. She yigzer aleinu gzera is toivos. Karati she yikarsu seinim. So we're all doing this. Skula. When I got married, they told me guaranteed skula for Shalom Bayis. Have you heard of this skula? What does a husband have to do on Motza Shabbos? Fold his talis. Apparently that's all you have to do. Why didn't they tell me that before? I've read all my books on Shalom Bayis. Apparently you just have to fold the talis. So I told this to my wife. My wife explained to me. I said, of course, because if you leave your talis lying around, then the wife gets upset. So if you fold it, she'll be happy with you. Apparently it's a skula for Shalom Bayis. So we all know these skulas, and they all bring a smile to our faces, but when we think about it, there's something very troubling about this. Because Avodas Hashem doesn't work that way. You could put your food in the microwave, but not the Torah. The rest of our Gashmi lives could be at the click of a button, but not Avodas Hashem. There is no quick and easy. There is no quick fix it. There are no shortcuts in Avodas Hashem. So we're going to see, we're going to examine in Mitzvah Hashem some of the makoros of these skulas, and we're going to understand what is the true nature of a skula, and then appreciate there are no quick, easy solutions. Imagine if somebody came to his doctor, Rachmana Litzlan. The doctor examined him and said, I'm sorry to tell you, you're suffering from a very serious illness, but in Mitzvah Hashem you could be zeche to a refuah shleima. He says, oh, good, could you please give me medication tomorrow morning? I want to feel better. No such thing. It's going to be a long process, ups and downs, not so easy, rehabilitation. But Amit Hashem, you'll feel well. So if that's true for refuas haguf, and kol shekein, that's true for refuas hanefesh. There's no overnight changes. No overnight changes. But the skulai sometimes convince us of otherwise, that maybe there is. All I need to do is say Parshas Hamon on Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach, that's it, overnight. Zeicher to Parnasa. I light a candle on Friday night. Bonim Tamid HaChomim. I wave open the Parechas of Aron HaKodesh. Easy birth, etc., etc., etc. So let's have a look together and examine what Chazal said about these skulos. And I think we'll look at skulos in a very different way. As mentioned, not chas v'shalom to be mezalzel in them, but to understand them and where they have a place in our Avodas Hashem. So the Gemara says, it's a Gemara about Parshas Hamon. It's a Gemara Yerushalmi in Brachas, and it says, Kol ha'oimer Parshas Hamon kol yoim. Not on Super Tuesday. Kol yoim. If you say Parshas Hamon every single day, muvtachloi, guaranteed that it'll always have Parnasa. And this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't that sound like a skula? Skula for Parnasa. Listen to the words of Rabban Shel Yisrael, Rabbeinu HaChofetz Chaim, in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura explains, the Chofetz Chaim tells us how this skula works. Parshas Hamon, he says, Kedei Sheya'amin, in order that a person should strengthen his emunah, Shekol mezoinosav, all of his sustenance, all of his parnasa, it all comes b'hashkocha protis. Just like when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and they saw with absolute crystal clear clarity that where's their parnasa coming from? Directly min hashomayim. So we need a chizuk in emunah. They didn't need that chizuk in emunah because they saw it clearly. We don't see it clearly. We have to do hishtadlus. So I need that chizuk in emunah, says the Chofetz Chaim, not to make a mistake. Lahoira is to teach us she'ein ribui ha'hishtadlus. Increasing hishtadlus, working extra hard. Moil mo'umo, that's not going to help in any way. It's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you recognize that you have your chizuk in emunah of where Parnasa is really coming from, well then you can be zeicher to Parnasa. So is it a quick and easy skula? Kol yoim. Every single day, it's a daily chizuk in our emunah. That's what it is. It's not the click of a button, it's not an orange without a peel, it's not a microwave. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. About 15 years ago, I was at a Shalom Zocher Friday night. There was a big crowd at the Shalom Zocher. It was Leil Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas B'Shalach. There was a big crowd, 30 or 40 people, and in walked a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, one of the Rabbonim in Bet Shemesh, unfortunately. He was nifter a few years ago, Reb Chaim Zev Malinowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Reb Malinowitz was not just a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he also had an excellent sense of humor. So he sits down, and he says to the crowd, he says, okay, I want to see a show of hands. Who in this room said the Parshas Hamon on Tuesday of this week? So every single hand went up in the room. Except for mine, I'd never heard of it. But everybody's hand went up in the room. He says, put down your hands. Now I now want to ask you another question, but there needs to be a show of hands. Who in this room says Parshas Hamon every single day b'kavona? Not one hand went up. So he said, I'm sorry to tell you, anybody who said Parshas Hamon this Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach, but doesn't say it every single day, waste of time. There's a whole room of shocked faces. They were all guaranteed Super Tuesday. The Rabbis just told them, if you don't say Parshas Hamon every single day. Rabbi Malinowitz, where does it say that you have to say Parshas Hamon every single day? So he said, it's in Shulchan Aruch. So one person there decided to be a bit of a joke, and he said, Rabbi Malinowitz, I learned Shulchan Aruch. I haven't yet come to that siman in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Linowitz said, bad answer, it's Simon Aleph. And it is. Simon Aleph, Sif Hei, the very first Simon of Shulchan Aruch. So why do we know about it? Because it's not quick and easy. But Super Tuesday is easy. But Chazal HaKadoshim are teaching us, it's not a chayv. It's not a chiv. The Shulchan Aruch says it's toiv loima. It's not a chiv. But at least we understand what is the meaning behind it, as the Mishnah Berurah tells us. It's not a click of a button. Put my emunah and bitochen in the microwave. It's a daily avoid of emunah. If I make that parnosa comes min hashamayim, then I can be zeicher to parnosa min hashamayim. Another skula for parnosa. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us, Mekubal ani merabayisai. I have a tradition from my great rebbeim. Shekol hazohir. Anybody who is careful, babirkas hamozoin, then he will have mezainos his whole life in a dignified manner. How long does it say to say birkas hamozoin? Not very long. Skula says a sefer achinuch. I'll explain it to you. Because inyan habrocha, what is the whole essence of birkas hamozoin? What we're saying is mitocha hisoyrus hatoiv hazeh. We're recognizing the tremendous goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why am I saying birkas hamozoin? I have bread. Baruch Hashem, I have bread on the table. Who provided that to me? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when one benches the kavana and one is ma'oirer that understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all goodness, lahoidois elov, to thank him, then onu zoichim, then we could be zoicha lahamshich, to continue birkoisov, the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch. So it's not a quick and easy skula, it's an avoidah. If you bench the kavana and understand and appreciate and are grateful for the toiv, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue sending you that toiv. You must have heard of this skula, Nishmas at the Coastal. You've heard of it? So here you have a whole room of girls who are not even 20 yet, I don't think, and have all heard of Nishmas at the Coastal. I've never heard of it until recently. But you never heard of it? Okay, so I'll tell you where it comes from. It does not come from a local stock organization. It comes from Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChosid, who wrote this almost 1,000 years ago. Im yesh lecha odom tzara oimachlo rachmona litzlan. If somebody is going through a difficulty or an illness, chas v'shalom, yekabel al atzmoi, he should accept on himself the following. She'im HaKadosh Baruch Hu yatzil oisoi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save him, yoimar, he will say, when he is saved, perek nishmas kol chai. V'zeh skula lehinotzel, it's a skula to be saved. Again, does it mean it's a quick and easy fix it? No. Nishmas is the perek in which we express our hoidoya. Ilu finu mole shiro kayom. Ein onu maspikim lohoidois lecho, etc., etc., etc. So when a person is makir, that all goodness, all Yeshua, all refuah, all hatzala, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, then in that zuchus you could be zeichet to the Yeshua. But it's not a quick whiz through nishmas, guaranteed refuah shalem. Another skula. Very easy ticket. At least that's what it sounds like, into Olam Haba. The Gemara says, whoever says Ashrei 3 times a day, straight into Olam Haba. Ashrei in Pesukei Zimra, Ashrei at the end of Shachris, and Ashrei at Mincha. Sounds like a quick segula. Says the Mishnah Berurah once again, V'ein Dai V'amira. It's not sufficient just to say the words. You mumble and fumble through Ashrei. That's how you get into Olam Haba. No. Elo sheyisboinein mashu oimer. He has to be misboinein. He has to think about what he's saying three times a day. Which is the word that repeats itself most often in Ashrei? Next time you say Ashrei, mincha time today, you'll notice the word toiv. Look how many times it says the word toiv in Ashrei. When a person says Ashrei, like the Mishnah Berurah says, not just Amira, but Yisboinein, he thinks about what he's saying, he recognizes the toiv of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then he could be zoicha to be mekabel, the ultimate toiv from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Olam Haba. The skula that we mentioned for good children, Bonim Tamidei Chachamim, Haragil Beneir, Haragil Beneir. Doesn't that sound like a quick, easy fix it? Again, you open up Chazal and look what Rabbeinu the Mishnah Berurah tells us, says the Mishnah Berurah, Velochein, Shetispaleil Ho'isho Achar Adlokas Neirois. The woman, the wife lighting, should daven her heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Adlokas Neiroi, Shetizke Lebonim Talmidei Chachamim. You know how this skula works? When you see the Neiris, what are you reminded of? Kineir Mitzvah, the Torah Oir. It reminds me of the Torah. So I'm davening. The wife davens that indeed I should have Torah like a kinderlach. It's not a quick and easy skula. There's no shortcut to having bonim talmidei chachamim. You know, there was a settlement in this country, a moshav, completely irreligious, chiloni. And an unbelievable thing happened. It's a story of 80, 90 years ago, where most of the moshav became frum. It was unbelievable. None of them had any type of Jewish or religious education. And they came to Moron HaChazon Ish, Zichat Tzadik Livroch, and they asked him, they said, well, unbelievable, Pella, how did this happen? A moshav chiloni, and almost all of them have become frum. Chaznish was unmoved. Unbelievable? Not so unbelievable. Probably all of their grandmothers pulled out their hearts and davened with tears when they lit Shabbos candles. And unfortunately it didn't work for their children, so it worked for the grandchildren. Why is that a Pella? There was a family here in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. They had a whole bunch of boys. One after another, good boys, B'liayin Hara. Except the young one, the youngest son, he gave his parents sleepless nights. He was the one that the Cheder Rebbe kept on calling, we need to speak to you, and the Menahel, and he gave his parents a difficult time. Years later, what actually emerged was the youngest son became the Talmud Chacham of the family. He was Oyla al Kulon. So they once asked the mother, how did this happen? This was the young child who always gave you such a hard time. We always thought that the other children, they would become a Talmidei Chacham. You know, the mother said, because for all the children we davened, but for this one we cried. Tears of a Yiddish mama, that is what brings Bonim Talmidei Chachamim. Just yesterday I read Bashkocha Protis, somebody came to the stipler, the father of Chaim Kanievsky, Zichat Tzadik Livrach, and said to him, is there a skula for good children? And he answered in three words in Yiddish. He said, yes, tfilas mit trerem, tfilas with tears. That's the skula. Quick and easy. Orange without a peel, microwavable chinuch habonim. When you light the Shabbos candles, kineir mitzvah v'teirah oir, and you pour your heart out, the zakeini legadel bonim ubnei bonim. They should be chachomim unavoinim, yireim v'shleimim. That's what brings bonim talmidei chachomim. It's not a click of a button, skula, quick and easy. We said there's a skula that we're all involved with, every single one of us. We all eat the simonim on Rosh Hashanah. Did you know it's a Gemara Mufurash? It's a Gemara. It's a Chas HaShalom to Mezalz, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says there's an inyan on Rosh Hashanah to eat karati. And when you have a karati, then you have a yirot saying, sheyikorasu sein einu. What is karati? It's a vegetable. What is the meaning of the word karati? to cut, like the word kores. So we have a yirot saying she yikorsu, our enemy should be cut off. Or you have a rubio. Rubio is a type of vegetable from the word ribui, increase, she yirbu zechuyoseinu. Listen to the unbelievable words of the Shloh HaKodesh. Says the Shloh HaKodesh, I'm sorry to tell you, this gula makes no sense whatsoever, l'chayra. Why does it make no sense? Again, what's translation of the word karati? To cut off. What's cut off? What is the Yirot saying that who should be cut off? Our enemies. Says the Shloh, where is the word enemies hinted to in the vegetable of karati? All karati means is should be cut off. So why is that a skula that our enemies should be cut off? Maybe chas v'shalom means we should be cut off. Or if we have a gezer, a carrot, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be gezer gezeiros toiveh. So I understand that gezer and gezeiros is a very similar word. Where is it hinted to in the word gezer anything about gezeiros toiveh? Maybe chas v'shalom, if you eat a carrot, you'll have gezeiros loy toiveh. It doesn't seem to make sense, this whole skula. You know how the Shloh explains? Elo inyan hu. This is now the explanation. She'ein shum remez ba'achilas hapri. There is zero remez. Zero. There is no correlation or connection whatsoever between eating a karati and yikoros usayin eino. So what did Chazal HaKadosh mean? Why is it that we all do it? Says the Shloh HaKadosh. Rak hapri hu hasimen. It's a reminder. She yizkoir ha'odom v'yis'oirer b'tshuva v'yispalel al hadova hazeh. What has karati got to do with yikorsu sayneinu? And the answer is nothing. But when I see the karati and it reminds me of what? Of the concept of she yikorsu, that will be ma'oirami to daven sheyikorsu seinenu. So what's the skula? The skula is the eating the vegetable. The skula is the tefillah. Somebody dips an apple in honey as a sweet new year. Chas v'shalom, but if he daven shetechade sholeinu shono tovo musuka, then that's something else. So if somebody has raisins and celery and davens that he should have a rise in his salary, is that a joke? It's not a joke at all. It doesn't matter whether there's a connection or not. The tefillah is the skula. The tefillah is the skula. I remember my brother, Netkufa of Shaduchim, waiting for his Yeshua, and Rosh Hashanah night, he said, please can you bring me, I need a fruit. Which one? A pear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pair me up with a very special color. Is that a joke? No. What's a pear got to do with a good color? Nothing. But if that reminds you to daven, that's the skula. We don't start the year with skulais. We start the year with tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. So when you see something that reminds you of gezer, gzeir, oh, an opportunity to daven, sheyigzer aleinu gzeir is tayris. It's an apple, it's honey, it's sweet. Okay, we should have a sweet new year. It's a head of a fish, we should be l'reish v'leila zonov. But it's not the eating of the food, whether you do or don't eat it. Some places give hold, you don't even need to eat it. The main thing is the yirotzer. The main thing is the yirotzer. So what was the skula for Shalom Bayis? Folding the talus on Motzei Shabbos. Do you know what the inyan is? The minhag is, and always was. Who buys the talus for the chasm? It's the kalas family. So the priest can explain. We don't fold the talus on Shabbos for halachic reasons. So on Motzei Shabbos, as you're folding your talus, you remind yourself, where did I get this talus from? It was my Eishes Chayil when we got married, so I davened that I should forever remain married to her, and I shouldn't need a new wife who will buy me a new talus. That's the skula for Shalom Bayis. Folding a talus doesn't bring Shalom Bayis, but tefillahs do. Opening a pareches don't bring about an easy birth. Tefillahs do. Tefillahs do. Have any of you ever attended, it's quite rare, the su'uda of a pidyon haben? It's a rare su'uda. Which food do they give out at a pidyon haben? Anybody know? Garlic and sugar. You know why those food? I'll explain to you. The word pidyon, hey dalad, yud, vav, nun. Pidyon, pidyon haben. But in one place in the Torah, it's actually written pidyoim, with a mem at the end. Pei dalad yud vav mem. So it's brought down as a segula, that if you attend and you eat the food of a pidyon haben, it's as if you've fasted for 84 days. Pei dalad yoim, pidyoim. Segula. 84 tanesim. If you eat the food of a pidyon haben, pidyoim. That's why they give out garlic and sugar, because nobody has a whole clump of sugar. You don't eat the whole garlic. You can use a few pieces of that to give flavoring to a whole cholent, to a whole soup, and that way lots and lots of people can all end up being mishtatif in the sud of a pidyon haben, and then zeicha to the skula of pidyoim, pidyoim. So there was a bocha in the Ponovitch yeshiva who very often did not show up for morning seder. And the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Shach, Zichat Tzadik, the Racha, approached him and said, I see you very often skip morning seder. Where are you? Why are you not learning? He said, Rosh Hashiva, I always try to the best of my ability to find out who in Bnei Brak is making a pidyon haben, and I attend the Suda. That's where I am. Shach says, why would you leave the Beis HaMedrash to attend pidyon haben Sudas? So he was amazed. He said to Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Hashiva doesn't know the skula. You eat the food, it's pei dalad, pidyoim. Like you fasted 84 tanes in the pei dalad. Said Rosh Shach, my dear Bocha, stay in the Beis HaMedrash, sit and learn a daf gemara. Daf is also pei dalad. There's no quick, easy fixes in Avodas Hashem. So when Klal Yisrael are fighting Amalek, and there is a serious situation of Pikuach Nefesh, and Klal Yisrael require a major Yeshua, how are they going to be zeicha to that Yeshua? So what does the Pasuk say? Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, and they were victorious. So what did the Mishnah ask? V'chi yodov shel Moshe oisos melchama. Can the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu bring about a melchama? So what did we ask? Why not? Maybe they had miracle hands. Why can't that be? Do we now understand the kasha of the Mishnah? There's no quick and easy skulos, fixits. Klal Yisrael need a Yeshua, so what are they going to do to earn that Yeshua, asks the Mishnah. Does it make any sense to say that Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hands and that's how they're zeicha to the Yeshua? Where is their effort in Avodas Hashem? Where is their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really deserves the Yeshua? Does it make any sense that the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu should bring about the Yeshua? And what does the Mishnah answer? You're 100% right. When Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, the Klal Yisrael looked up to Shomayim, and they were meshabdim as libom la'aviyim shebashomayim. Ah, you mean they connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's why they were zeicha to the Yeshua. Can it be when Klal Yisrael need a refuah shleima, and they just look up at a snake? That's what brings about refuah shleima. Don't we have to daven refa'inu Hashem v'nerafe every single day? That's the kasha of the Mishnah. It's not a magic snake, but it does seem to be mashma like that in the pasuk. That's the Mishnah's kasha. Can it possibly be that if you look up at a snake, you're zeicha to refuah shleima? What does the Mishnah answer? Same answer. When you look up at the snake and you continue your gaze up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you connect La'aviyim Shebashomayim, that is how you're zeicha to the Yeshua. That is a fundamental lesson in our Avodas Hashem. You can put your supper in the microwave, but not your Avodas Hashem. You can click of a button on an MP3 machine, but not on your Avodas Hashem. Can we have a one-off shir on Ishtadlus and Bitochen? No, there is no such thing. So we need to know. Nobody needs to raise their hand. But if I were to ask you, who in this room needs a Yeshua? And the real answer is, every single person, myself included, every single one of us should really raise our hands. We all need Yeshua. Who doesn't need Yeshua? You are all standing, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, at the brink of the most exciting, the most important stage of your life. You need Yeshua. You need Yeshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send you a Zivug Hogoyim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should ensure that you find yourself standing under the chuppah, Bekorei Mamesh, next to a Chosn Ben Toiro, together with whom you're going to be Boina, Bias of Toiro, and Avoido, and Chesed. So how's that going to come about? Through a skula? It's going to come about Tfilah Mitre. That's how it's going to come about. There's no skulas. Like we said before, if there are skulas, we're not chas v'shalom mezalzel in the skulas, like we've seen. Almost all of them have makhiris in Chazal. But what if Chazal taught us about the skulas? That the skulas are a chizuk in emuna. There is a chizuk in akoras atay. There is a chizuk in tfilos. And sometimes when a person finds himself in a difficult situation, one needs to know that not only is tefillah the root, the way out of the nisayon, but it could well be that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the nisayon in the first place. Where do we learn this from? The obvious. Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to hear the tefillahs of Avraham and Yitzchak, and that's why they didn't have children for many years. So it's not because they didn't have children, that's why they davened. To the contrary. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to daven, that's why they didn't have children. So the person finds himself, and we all find ourselves in a situation where we need a Yeshua for a Zivug Hogan. And after that, to have Shalom Bayis, and then to be Zeicher to children, and then to have children Talmidei Chachomim, and to have health, and to have Parnasa. Are we going to be busy with skulos, trying to put our Avodas Hashem in the microwave? Or are we going to mechazik Tfilah Mitre. We're all trying to be mischazik. We're all trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's not be busy and centralize skulas. If there's a skula which comes from Chazal, for sure we can activate it, but not chas v'shalom without understanding how it works. Yes, we need Siyata Dishmaya. B'derech she'odom reitza leilech Meilich in Eisei, but it's got to be B'derech she'odom reitza leilech. Leilech means it's a journey. It's not quick and easy. It's not overnight. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Should send us Siyata Dishmaya, yes, to be mischazik in our journeys of Avodas Hashem, be'emuna, be'bitochein, be'tfila. We should all be zeichet to Siyata Dishmaya and all the Yeshuas that we need from Mitz Hashem.